Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome to your own program, Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we try to discuss problems, questions, and issues parents have regarding the Islamic upbringing of their children. The answers are based upon the Noble Quran and narrations from Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, and his purified progeny. Today in the studio, we have with us our guest speaker, Brother Sheikh Miqdad, who is a researcher in the Hawza Ilmi of Qom. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome.
Thank you very much, and salam to all the listeners, inshallah, out there.
Brother Miqdad, in our previous sessions, we talked about few steps that could help boys going through puberty. That was the things that are in our control. We can limit them. We can make dress code at home decent. We can take care of the relationship between father and mother, like they need to take care of the conversations and anything that causes oversensitivity or curiosity, and they need to create a safe environment. Are there any more things that parents could do to help boys going through puberty?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So we talked about the sexual exposure that needs to be controlled. And we talk about what we can do at home.
Yes.
Obviously, there's more we can do, but I think, inshallah, the listeners got the point of how we can really try our best to control this.
Yes.
But do it together with the child. That's very important. Other things that we can do to kind of limit this sexual exposure is make sure that they have good friends.
Okay. Right?
This is something we'll repeat many times. The role of friends in a teenager is extremely important.
Okay.
Who your child and who your kind of teenage boys hang around with will have a very strong impact in not just the exposure to sexual content, but also generally to the emotional maturity and the intellectual maturity will be impacted by what kind of people they hang around with. So it's very important that you choose, or you help them choose, good friends.
Okay.
And generally, it's important that parents get involved in their child's school life as well. So being in touch with the teacher, whatever school they're going, whether Muslim school or non-Muslim school, being in touch with the school teacher, what's happening in school on a general basis is very important.
Okay.
Sometimes you find parents are very much like,
busy in their own life. They have admitted a child in a school and they really don't care.
Exactly, yeah. So a child goes to school from 8 to 2, 8 to 3, and that's it. They don't really care what's happening.
Yes.
No, be a bit more involved. Know what's happening at school. What kind of things school is exposing them to.
Yes.
Because you find that some schools are very kind of open to exposure.
Yes.
Especially in Europe right now, especially in Canada right now, there's a whole movement of RE, religious education, as well as RSE, sexual education as well. This is kind of the explicitly getting children to know about things much earlier than necessary. So it's good that you are aware of this, that you speak to your school, your teacher, but also local community members as well. So a lot of the Muslim communities have got together to kind of discuss these issues, because it's a big issue. Schooling in Europe is a very big issue. In Canada, same thing. So
is there anything you could tell to parents over here, like who are more concerned about putting their children in a schools that are brands? For example, I remember something from my past, like there were some parents who were really concerned about admitting their children to the schools, which were branded schools, okay? But the same schools in the Muslim society used to teach singing and dancing and guitars and pianos at a very early age, which is also haram in Islam, but parents hardly cared about that. But they were more concerned about that our, like, we should feel proud in the society because our child is studying in a school that has, that's among the top 10 list.
Yeah. So basically, it's the kind of debate between academic performance and religious maturity, basically. Academic performance is extremely important. I mean, hats off to all the parents out there. I would strongly encourage, not just for myself, but Islamically, we're strongly encouraged to make sure that your academic performance is excellent.
Excellent.
So those Muslim schools, for example, that are putting too much emphasis on religion and kind of ignoring the academic performance, that's very bad, right?
Okay.
So definitely be very strongly, put priority as academic for sure. I don't deny that at all. On the contrary, I think it's a very important factor. Whenever you're choosing school for your child, always have academic performance and the reputation of the school, the level of academic kind of level that they can achieve is very important, definitely. And you want the best for your child. That's what school is all about in the end.
Okay. I think this needs some explanation. I'll talk to you on that after a short break. To listeners, stay tuned to IRIP English Radio.
Please, stop! I got a better game!
IRIB English Radio presents a priceless gift to parents. Do you have problem with your kids?
I have two boys. One is 5-year-old and the other one is 3.5. And they constantly fight and wrestle with each other and it often gets to a dangerous stage.
My 18-month-old daughter has learned to eat by herself and she just refuses that I feed her. But usually, all the food basically goes everywhere except her mouth. So how can we allow this strife to happen for the purpose of freedom?
Don't worry, we're here to help.
For a child, the purpose of the food is only to feed. It's also for him to learn. It's also for him to explore and fulfill the need of curiosity, fulfill the need of freedom.
Islamic upbringing. Contact us. EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIP English Radio. This is Islamic upbringing, and we're talking about the things how boys can deal with the age of puberty. Yes, brother, you were talking about the schools.
So you raise a very important question. I'll quickly deal with it, inshallah, we'll move on. So when it comes to school, academic performance is very important. It should be a very important priority in terms of when we're looking for schools. So as you mentioned, brand schools, reputable schools, or schools that are performing well in academic field,
yeah.
They need to be set as a priority for our children. We want our children to be very strong in the academic. However, and a big however, you can make it in bold, that this is not at the expense of religious principles.
Yes.
Right? This is very important. So we always try to bring them together, have the academic performance as well as the religious. So if you have schools that are Islamic schools and that are doing really well academically, that's ideal. Always go for that.
Okay. Right?
If you have schools that are academically very strong but are going to destroy your religious principles, mm-hmm. then definitely don't go for that.
Okay.
Right? Simply put, would you like your child to turn into a very amazing astronaut, but then end up in hell?
Okay. Right?
If you want to put it black and white, you want your child. Yes, you want the best for your child in this world. Definitely, you want them to become amazing doctors and lawyers and in engineers and astronauts, right?
Okay.
But at the same time, you want them to kind of do well in the hereafter. You want them to also become a true human being.
Yes.
Right. Being a good doctor, being a good businessman, but having no faith has no value.
Yes.
Right? I mean, that's what we believe in. That's what the reality is. This world is a bridge to the next world. Yes, make sure that we have academic performance and we have great careers in our Muslim community, but not at the expense of losing our faith. So if you have a school that's doing extremely well, but they're going to destroy for sure our religious principles, then definitely it's a school that you don't want to put your child in. According to some of the Maraji, it's also haram as well.
Okay.
The discussion is often where you kind of have a bit of both, where do you have to draw the line? And this is probably most scenarios. I mean, the second scenario I mentioned is kind of not so common. Most scenarios is where, like, okay, I can do a bit of both, where I can kind of manage between a bit more strength in academic and maybe lack a bit of religious guidance and religious exposure. I'm not saying we should always opt for Islamic schools. I kind of understand that some of the Islamic schools out there, if not a lot of the Islamic schools out there, very often fail in their performance at the academic level.
Okay.
And so I won't encourage them to always choose that. Sometimes yes. You do. Okay. And sometimes they will encourage you to do it, depending on what kind of school it is. But definitely you really want our Islamic schools to become better at in the academic field as well.
Yes.
So ideally you would, as a community, push for making our own schools and push for those kind of schools that have both, that have a strong kind of academic performance as well as a good religious background.
Yeah.
It doesn't, when I say religious background, it doesn't necessarily mean they're going to teach the most amazing aqaid and those kind of things. No, I'm not saying, we're not trying to create a house over there, right?
All
it's still
right.
a school.
Mm-hmm.
But simple things like exposure to things, what kind of discussions to have at what age. These kind of simple things basically play a very big role.
So parents have to be careful about choosing school. They have to choose a school, which even if it's doing academically well, but not at the cost of their faith, the faith of their children.
Yeah.
Brother, I'll be talking to you after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said, "He who recites the Quran before puberty has indeed been given wisdom in his childhood."
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is the program Islamic Upbringing. We are talking about things that could help boys to go through the age of puberty. Yes, brother, what are the other things that could help boys to go through puberty?
So we talked about sexual exposure at home, how to create a safe environment. We talked about that sexual exposure outside of home is going to happen.
Yes.
Right? Especially in the society that we live in today, it's extremely difficult to kind of be not exposed to it. But we said that there are certain things that we can do to limit it, at least to a certain extent. One of them we said was friends. Make sure you choose good friends. And you're careful about what kind of people your child is interacted with.
Yes.
Secondly, we talked about being involved in school life as well.
Yes.
Knowing, so as you mentioned, choosing the right school.
Yeah.
And also when you've chosen the right school, also then being involved in their school life, knowing what the school is exposing them to, what are they learning, what the child is doing before school, during school, after school, kind of being part of the school life. It's part of family life is being involved in each other.
Not just keeping your kid, like, not just keeping your child out from like 8 to 3 or 9 to 5 and then not knowing anything what he's being exposed to.
Exactly. And then thirdly is also a child's leisure time. So teenagers, and all of us actually, require leisure time, time where we kind of do our own things, call it pleasure, entertainment, leisure.
Okay.
These kind of thing needs to be controlled a lot. Controlled in the sense that guided, I would say, rather than using the word control, actually it was guided. Don't let your child do whatever they want in the leisure time.
Okay. Right?
They want to go to the cinema, for example, they can go to the cinema. Don't restrict cinema time. But guide them towards choosing the right film or the right movie, for example.
Okay.
Right? If they're going out for a meal, for example, or for a coffee, or they go to the mall, for example, don't restrict that because teenagers need to have that. But kind of guide them to choose a good place to go or how to deal about the different things.
Or choose a person, what person you are going
with. So choosing their friends, choosing the friends carefully, yes. All of that, basically, to kind of really help them limit the kind of exposure that they're going to have.
Okay.
This is very important. So be also kind of involved in the leisure time. It's not like you give them pocket money and say, do whatever you want with it.
Okay.
Right? You're kind of helping them, guiding them.
You can kind of give pocket money and then ask them what you did with it so that every time you're giving, you can know what they are doing.
Even better than asking like them what they did, I would say guide them towards what to do with it.
See, okay.
Children, teenagers don't like policing. They don't like mom and dads that are acting
asking
police.
Asking questions,
exactly.
Yes.
They want to be independent. They want to do what they like to do.
Mm-hmm.
So your role is not to restrict. Your role is not to police,
mm-hmm.
but rather to guide and to help them make the right decisions.
Well, thank you, brother, so much for being with us. Thank you so much, dear listeners. We talked about the things parents could do to help their boys go through puberty. Thank you so much for listening to IRIB English Radio. In case you have any questions, please feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. You can also find us on social media platforms by just searching Call of Islam Radio. In case you want to listen to this program again, you can just go back to our website, that's www.parstoday.com, and search us under the tab of Call of Islam. Until another session, fi amanillah, and God bless you all. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space returned upon rest.